Talmidim or Yosef Be'er, they asked him, a person would see Albert Einstein, one of the famous professors for the last few hundred years, would he be required to make a bracha shecholak mechachmosai l'reof? This... What? I'm sorry. Lossen? Sorry? Lossen mechachmosai l'reof. Lossen sorry. Shkoyach, the mazgis still here. Is he mechuyev to make a bracha? You better stay here. Is he mechuyev to make a bracha on Professor Einstein? So Yosef Be'er said to him the following. We know the Gemara, which comes just before the Gemara of Chanukah. Many people ask, what's the connection between that Gemara and Chanukah? In Gemara states, the Pasuk in last week said, Abaye Reik, Ein Bo Mayim. So the Gemara asks, if it's empty, I know there's no water inside it. Says the Gemara, the Ein Bo Mayim is coming to tell us there's no water inside, but the Choshev HaKrov Mieshboi, there's snakes and scorpions inside the pit. That's the Torah wrote, the extra wording, Ein Bo Mayim. Oh, the Welt fragt, so it's not a rake, it's not empty. Why say it's empty? It's not empty, it's got snakes and scorpions inside. So he said as follows, if you have a safe, a steel safe with a combination lock, the number of keys to open, the safe is full of rubbish, or let's say toilet paper, you don't call the safe full. Although maybe a few months ago, if you put toilet paper in a safe, it would be called full. It's a very, very sought-after commodity. Oh, but in regular times, if you fill the safe with toilet paper with rubbish, it's called an empty safe. When is a safe considered full? When you fill it with gold, silver, jewels, cash, then the safe is considered full. When something is considered full, you have to look what it's been made for. What's the purpose of the object? Said to Yosef Be'er, the boil is normally used to draw water from. If the boil has got nechoshim v'akrovim, it's an empty boil. It says reik. Why did it add Ein Bo Mayim? So the Gemara to tell us when the Choshev HaKrovim. But the boil is considered empty because a boil which hasn't got water in it is empty. Because a boil is made specifically for water. So Yosef Be'er said, Einstein was a Yid. He actually had Orthodox grandparents. He had a first cousin who sat in Kol Chaznish for many years, by the name of Einstein. He had a phenomenal brain. Read stories about him, he had a phenomenal brain. Can't fathom what type of brain he had. Although every brain, we should know, has got tremendous capacity. I read recently the brain has 2.7 million terabytes of memory space. And the average person only uses a fraction of that. When I read that, I understood that when you read about Gedolei Yisrael who encompassed so much knowledge, it's not necessarily a miracle. They just had the Siyat Tishmaya and through their terabytes. Terabytes, 1,000 gigabytes, I think. Right. So I'm sorry, you don't have terabytes. You have megabytes, you have gigabytes, you have terabytes. Right. So my first computer had 40 megabytes of hard disk space. Dr. Yosef Be'er, that Einstein was a Yid. Shmocha gave him a phenomenal brain. In order to make a bracha when you see him, that's only if the brain was filled with what it's supposed to be filled with. I heard also from Ron Gubich, he said over a story, rarely said stories in Shea. He once said a story that Talmidim of Rabbi Be'er were with Rav Baruch Be'er, and the Yid came over and started speaking to Rav Baruch Be'er. Dr. Rav Baruch Be'er knew him from some time ago. So they asked the Yid afterwards, how do you know Rav Baruch Be'er? He didn't look the type of person who you'd expect him to know Rav Baruch Be'er. So he said, he learned by Chavrusa Rav Baruch Be'er by Rav Chaim Brisk. He learned by Chavrusa with him. So they asked him, what did he do now? So he said, now he's an assistant to Professor Einstein. So they asked him, who's cleverer, Rav Chaim Brisk or Professor Einstein? I don't remember exactly, after he asked him again, what he answered, but he answered, in certain ways Rav Chaim's cleverer, and in certain ways Einstein's cleverer. So can you imagine that Einstein used his brain for Torah? Today we'll be discussing all over the world, Chidushei Reb Albert Einstein. Like we're discussing Reb Chaim Brisk, we'll be discussing Chidushei Reb Albert Einstein. Zogt Reb Yosher Be'er, we can't make a bracha when we see Professor Einstein. That's not what his brain was made for. The Welt asks, what's that Gemara got to do with Chanukah? B'derech Hadichasa Melitza, maybe you can say, the Gemara starts off with that pasuk before it starts with the sugi of Chanukah, because Chanukah also is a little bit of a difficult yontov to connect with. We say halal in the morning, the rest of the day is normal, then we light the menorah, and again after that, there's nothing really doing which connects us with the yontov of Chanukah. So maybe Chanukah can be used for various types of events or parties. The Gemara is telling us all about donuts and parties. Chanukah is a yontov we can derive inspiration from. There are lessons to be learned. We can connect with our shpos of the yontov. If you look at the Svarim HaKadoshim, they write such tremendous things about Chanukah. The Chanukah has to also be filled spiritually. It shouldn't be a Chanukah rake. That's not what Chanukah is there for. That could be the connection with the Melitza between the two Gemaras. And we can get from Chanukah for the entire year. There's something to be gotten from Chanukah. In this week's Sedra, in Parshas Miketz, we have the story when Pare dreamt. We know the story so well. Pare later said to Yosef, "Ein chochem v'noven kameicha." I can see, as the Targum says, you've got Ruach HaKodesh. Where did Paro see that Yosef had Ruach HaKodesh? Another question, if you look at the Psukim, it says the fat cows stood next to the thin cows. Why was that necessary? What did that symbolize? The thin cows could have come out the river and gone and gobbled up the fat cows. What was it necessary to stand next to each other? Another question that everybody asks, Pare asked Yosef to interpret his dream. Why did Yosef give Eitzes? Who asked him for advice? Pare never asked him for advice. So answer the Gevaldik of Pshat. Pare, in his dream, saw the fat cows stand next to the thin cows. He didn't believe there's any significance in that. And therefore, he never told over that detail to Yosef. You look in the Pesukim, he didn't tell over that detail. But Yosef Baruch Kotcha knew what the dream was. And he interpreted that part of the dream, the fat cows would feed the thin years. The good years would feed the thin years. The two sets of cows stood next to each other. That symbolized that one should make sure that the good years of plenty should feed the thin years when there's no produce growing. So Yosef knew Baruch HaKodesh, that chelik of the dream, Pari didn't tell him. And that's when he gave an Eitzah, that was part of the interpretation. So he wasn't just giving unsolicited advice. Pare asked for him to interpret the dream, and that was part of interpretation. Pare knew he was a Novi because he never told him that part of the dream. But that was a chelik of the interpretation of the dream, that the fat cows should be used, the fat years should be used to provide food for the thin years. Well, the Emes is Chanukah has got the same inyonim. We can learn from Chanukah. We can derive our shkofa and our shpos from Chanukah to keep us going for the rest of the year. We can think about the nest of the shemen. Shpoku tells shemen to light. Shpoku tells vinegar to light as well. Mishimah shemesh yadnik, mishimah chomesh yadnik. We can understand that the battles that Klal Yisrael face are waged in heaven. Rabban biyad ma'atim. for many, many years had a difficulty when Yaakov prepared himself to meet Lavan. He prepared himself in three ways: with presents, with tefillah, and with battle. And the Pasuk writes, he split up his camp into two. When he arrived at Esav, his camp wasn't split. What happened to that plan to split up his camp into two? What happened to that camp? That plan. Had this shver for many, many years. I once was traveling somewhere. I sit next to Yid called Shmuel Baron. And he told me a gewaltig pshat. Chazal tell us, in order for a battle to be won in the physical world, it first has to be won in the spiritual world. The sar of that ummah has to first win the sar of the other ummah. Only when it's won in the spiritual world can the battle be won in the physical world. She said, the gewaltig pshat. Yaakov fought with the sar shel Esav, and he won him. See, Yaakov knew that night that Esav poses no threat. And therefore the next morning, when he met Esav, he didn't need to split up the camp. Because there was no threat from Esav. He had won the sar shel Esav. These are all inyonim we can think about when we say Al-Anisim, Rabbi Admatim. It's not dependent on how great the army is, how powerful the army is. It's not dependent on the weaponry. It's dependent on what goes on in Shomayim. There's so many different inyonim in Ashkofa that we can take just from the Al-Anisim itself. We can think about it during the day. We can have a Chanukah, which is not just a matter of lighting the menorah and saying Hallel in the morning. It can be a spoilers about all the inyonim of Chanukah, which can influence us throughout the year. I want to speak about this Rambam Matim from a point of view of a medrash in last week's Sedra Rashi brings. Something we've discussed many years ago. It's worth saying over. Rashi brings a very strange medrash. At first glance, when we look at this medrash, we don't understand what is simple pshat in the medrash. The medrash tells a moshel about a pishtani, a person who dealt in flax. If you look in the medrash, it's not so clear, Rashi, the person who dealt in flax, he's got camels laden with flax. He's coming through the town square. He's not trying to enter the shop of the... Do you know Moscow?
Yeah.
People think he's coming to the shop of the flaxman, of the blacksmith. He's not trying to come in the... Platius, it's not a Platius. The person dealing in flax with his camels laden, he's trying to go to the town square. The Pchomi comes out of his shop and he says, how are you getting through the town square with all that flax? Yeah? Now, what is it, his business? And what type of mechutin is he? Yeah, you'd call him a nudnik. Yeah, we've said this once before. Yeah, if you want to define these Jewish words, a shlamazel, shlamil, and a nudnik, we gave a marshal, person, the rachasna, the waiter's coming with a cauldron of soup, and he walks across the hall, he doesn't notice the wire, the cable snaking across the floor, and he trips on the cable, and the whole cauldron of soup goes flying in the air, and that is nebuch, upside down on somebody's head. You can imagine pandemonium breaks loose, people start calling out, the fellow's screaming, the floor's soaked with soup, people are slipping and sliding. So hagantzim apecha. So the shlamazel is the person who spilled the soup. Yeah, the waiter, nebuch, tripped on the... He has a shlamazel, he should look where he's going. That's not a shlamazel. The shlamil in the story is the guy on whose head the soup fell. As a shlamil, that's a use of... The nudnik, where the nudnik? The guy on the other side of the table, he's sitting there waiting for his soup. His napkin tucked nicely and neatly into his shirt. He's holding his spoon ready to have the soup. And he asks the waiter, who's shell-shocked, he asks him, what soup was it? Was it vegetable soup or chicken soup? Yeah, it's a nudnik. Hak da kop. Yeah? Was it shanis pechomi? I cooked a hak da kop. Hak da kop. What's his business, how the pechomi is getting through? Of the biggest kash, and I really had it, from a young child, had this kasha shver. The real kasha is the next part of the medrash, yeah? Which Moshe Lamar Dovadoima, a person orders a grand piano, and then arrives at his house in a big lorry, and he can't get in the house. He can't get through the front door, not through the patio at the back, he can't get through the sukkah roof. And people are already crowding around, how are you going to get this piano into the house? It's starting to rain, it's going to get damaged. Come that grace of Pekech. Pekeh's got an eitzah to get the piano in the house. He says, look across the road, the guy at the bus stop, he's smoking a cigarette, he's probably got matches on him. Ask him for a match. Burn the piano, it'll go straight in the house. Also ich stehe dort in der Medrash. The Pekach comes along and says, what's the problem? One spark from your flint burns all the flax. Gendigt, gepatzt dein Geschäft, it goes straight inside that, straight through the platia. Es ist eine Scheute Gottel mehr sehr. The biggest Scheute in the world. What's he thinking? Yeah, that's just a Pekach. It's a schwer Medrash, it's a difficult Medrash. As well, Shabbos, Thursday night from Mitzvah and Kiyah Sefer, Rav Ramis of Basel, Zechayla Rocha, left it recently, said a gewaltig pshat. What's the pshat in the Medrash? Before we come to the Nimshel. He said, pshat in Medrash is that there's a Mishnah, God sayyotza metachas apatish. If a spark goes out from a flint, there's actually the only Mishnah, I think, in Shabbos, which mentions Hanukkah, I think so. If a spark goes out from a flint and it causes damage, he's chayv to pay. The person's chayv to pay for the damage caused by the spark that goes out from his flintstone within mazik. The person working in his shop with a flintstone is very afraid of the flax man passing his shop. Because if he causes damage, he's going to have a big bill. He's going to have to reimburse him the loss that he caused. So it's not Stamad Ludwig. The person who's working in his shop is a Mechutnir. One second. How are you getting through this town square? I'm working. What's going on here? Comes the Bekeach, and the Bekeach says to him, you're afraid of him? Are you crazy? He's much more afraid of you. Because one spark will wreck his business. Okay, you have to pay. He's going to pay, but still, allow something to crash into you, because sure, maybe not, these people do. But the normal person doesn't allow something to crash into you, because the shore's going to... The person who's got candles laden with flax, he's much more afraid of you than you're afraid of him, because one spark can wreck his business. So to Yaakov, you saw that look for Esav, Yaakov was terrified. How are we going to survive? He wasn't just speaking then, he was speaking in the future. We look at ourselves, a tiny nation amongst great nations, a fraction of a percent of the population of the world. There's millions or billions of people who would like to see us gone. Mi yuchol lichbish eseinu. Yaakov Avinu was afraid of Aluf Esav, afraid for the future of his descendants. How are we going to be able to overcome? It's impossible. Eina told us Yaakov Yosef. Beis Yaakov is Eish, Yosef is Lahava. So Dr. Shpoch, Yaakov is scared of them? What are you talking about? One spark. Haloi koi devori keish. One word of Torah is like a fire. V'soyref es kulam. We're much more powerful. We've got nothing to be afraid of. The koyach of limit Torah, of mitzvahs, chesed, mas and toivim, that creates fire. We don't see the fire, we don't see text messages flying out of a phone, we don't see the information that's flying through the air, the radio waves, the television waves. We don't see it, but we know it's there. So too we've got to see, and we've got to believe that every time we learn Torah, there's fire coming out, the spiritual fire coming out, which is tremendous power, tremendous koiches. Tremendous koiches. Haloi koi dvori keish. The words of Torah like fire. Yaakov symbolizes Torah. And Torah's got a koyach of fire. Loi koyach of ori keish. The koyach of the Mosoilam, they're powerless, completely powerless against the koyach of Klal Yisrael. The Avonim came along and they wanted to extinguish that flame, that fire that Klal Yisrael held. They were choyshech. The first medrash in the Torah writes, Choyshech Zuyovon, they were Choyshech. Klal Yisrael are oil, a light. They want to extinguish that light. They understood that the Koyach of Torah, that gives the Koyach of Klal Yisrael against all the enemies. They forbade Klal Yisrael from learning Torah. They understood that the Menorah is the part of the Mikdash which is Mashpia Torah on the whole world. The Timurus Kol HaShmanim. They want to be the Talmud the Shmanim of Klal Yisrael. They want to stop the Menorah from functioning. That brought the Shpos of Torah. That is the way Klal Yisrael always come out on top. Kishemen As comes with Louis compared to oil, Louis come out the top, we've got a gewaltiger koyach, and that koyach is a koyach because of Torah, and they dvori keish. And they don't stand a chance. They want to metama the shemanim to take away that shema of Torah. Also, that symbolizes the shkofa of Klal Yisrael, which they wanted to take away from Klal Yisrael. We'll see later why. Also, a gewaltiger pshat. Because everybody asks, why were they so intent on being metama the shemanim? So the posha pshat is because the shemen is what was needed to make the menorah function. To stop the menorah function will take away the koyach hashpo of Torah and Klal Yisrael. Also, a little bit deeper. The psila, the wick, is a doimen. It's got no life, it's lifeless. In the physical world, there are four madregas, doimen, tzemeach, chayim, and daber. Doimen is the lowest. The wick is a doimen. It's got no life, it doesn't grow. It's got no koyach at all. Fire, although it's physical, but in the physical world, it's the closest to the spiritual. You don't understand exactly, rub two stones together, you rub two woods together, you get a flame. One spark can destroy an entire forest. Fire is a little bit different. It's governed by different laws than the rest of the physical world. Kineh mitzvah, light. The Eish in the physical world is the parallel of the Eish HaTorah in the spiritual world. Eish is the highest form in the physical world. If you put the Eish together with the wick, they can't coexist. They can't coexist. The Eish will consume the wick in seconds. What enables the Eish, the fire, to be harnessed on the wick? The Shemen. That connects the wick with the flame. That connects the flame to the wick and keeps them in harmony. The Avonim understood that Klal Yisrael's Ashkofa was completely opposite to their Ashkofa. Their outlook on life, their ideology was to indulge and enjoy. Because they lived a life, when a person dies, it's game over. That's it. End of story. And therefore, they believe that the world, if the people was created by Kadosh Baruch Hu, it was there to be enjoyed and to be used to the fullest. The Ashkof of Klal Yisrael is Faket. The Ikke is the future. This world's the gym, the next world's the spa, the future's the spa. This is the battle. And how we achieve in the battle is going to decide and determine what type of reward we get. So the Ashkof of the Torah is Ashkofa. And this world is there to be used for Ruchnius. Their Ashkofa was the opposite. The purpose of this world was for itself, for us to enjoy and indulge. Which, by the way, then you come up with a lot of questions on God. Why did Hashem create the world with so many problems and so many difficulties? He could have made a much better job. That's what the Harvard University students once when they debated. If God did a good job, they gave him a B. Because they couldn't see why it was such a brilliant job. God could have done a better job. And the answer is because they failed to realize what the purpose of the world is. You can't rate an item you don't know the manufacturer made it for. But that was the Ashkofa of the Avonim. Their Ashkofa was Olam Haza, Olam Haza, Olam Haza. Olympics, human achievement, indulgence, enjoyment. Our Ashkofa is forget. The physical world is there for us to attain reward in the spiritual world. The oil symbolized this Ashkofa. To connect the physical to the spiritual. That's why they came in with a tum of the oil. Because this was the Ashkofa, which was opposed to their Ashkofa, Zachayim. Why were they so intent in undermining the Ashkofa of Klal Yisrael? So Maral writes that the Yevonim are very, very clever, extremely clever, and they amassed all the Chochmas of the entire world. We have the Gemara writing many times, Sholcha Sabah Datuna, the elders of Athens sent questions to Chachomim and Shalayim. They want to understand everything. But however much knowledge they tried to amass, they realized they were far, far inferior to the knowledge of Klal Yisrael. The Medrash gives us an example, one philosopher. He asked Rabbi Shua ben Hananya a question, which he spent 7 years trying to work out, and he asked him straight away. And he got a shock. And he felt inferior. I spent 7 years and you know the answer straight away. When the Gaon writes the ayin, the eye is called ayin because it's got 70 membranes protecting it. About 25 years ago, they managed to discover this. There's 70 membranes protecting the eye. The Gaon saw all that in the Torah. Ayin is gematria 70. Chazanish wrote a letter. Chazanish made a diagram once for a very complicated brain surgery. Once when I said this year, somebody was sitting and he told me more details of the story. He knew the story firsthand. Chazanish could draw a diagram for a professor to make brain surgery. And the professor Ashkenazi in Haifa saw the diagram. He said, I thought I was the greatest surgeon in the whole of Eretz Yisrael. How's I've never heard of this surgeon? And he came to Bnei Brak to see the Chazanish. The knowledge that can be derived from Torah is far superior than any knowledge that any human being can derive. And the Avonim, Dr. Moral, were jealous of this. And they knew that when they learn Torah, they won't see in the Torah what the Chachmi Yisrael see. They won't be able to derive that knowledge from the Torah, because you can only derive that knowledge from the Torah if you live according to Torah. And that Hashem writes, if you live with Ashkof of Torah, you can see in Torah all the sides of Torah. When the Gaon wrote a book on trigonometry, a phenomenal book, he knew everything from Torah. So the Yevonim, they wanted to be the most superior race, most knowledgeable, cleverest. They wanted to be on top of the world. It was a thorn in their side that Klal Yisrael were far superior in Chochmah. And they recognized that the reason why they're far superior is from the Torah, but they couldn't see in the Torah what Chachmah Yisrael saw, that they translated the Torah, Chazal tell us. They couldn't see it, because to see what's in the Torah, you've got to live Alpi Torah. Therefore, the only way they could make themselves superior to every single nation was to take away the Ashkofa from Klal Yisrael, to take away Torah learning from Klal Yisrael, which they forbade, and to take away the Ashkofa of Klal Yisrael. And they did that by being Metama the Shmanim, and that gave Klal Yisrael the Ashkofa, that connect the physical to the spiritual. That's what they intended to try and achieve in order they could be the most superior nation in knowledge. But Klal Yisrael were Mevata. The Rabban Biyad Mahatim, there were those who learned Torah and Koy Devori Ka'esh and ultimately overcame the Avonim. Just a few thoughts about the Yontem of Chanukah. We can mispoinen in the nest of the Shemen and the famous Kashel of Beis Yosef, why is it 8 days, should be only 7 days in the nest. And the most famous Teretz is that because the fact that Shemen light is also a miracle, everything in the world is miracles. That's one of the hispoinus we can have in the Nes Shemen. There's another part of Chanukah, the miracle of winning the battle against the Avonim. That's Rabban Biyad Mahatim. We must be hispoinus that was possible because of the Koyach HaTorah, the Haloi Koy Devori Ka'esh. That's our weaponry. We're going to be hispoinus in the Hashkof of the Avonim and not allow ourselves to be infiltrated by the Hashkofa. Our Ashkofa is that the Olam Hazeh is there for the Olam Haba. It's a yontem we can really fill ourselves up with. If we are mispoinim and spend time, we look at the Svarim, look at Sos Emes, the first few paragraphs, it gives a whole new dimension what it means, Allah Kasaneiris, Gevaldi Gazach and Tifa Zach, and it can be understood by everyone. We look at Rav Krennenstein's Svarim of Chanukah, we see what the yontem of Chanukah is. Chanukah is a yontem which we can have a tremendous fulfillment from. We shouldn't be left with a boy rake. We should fill ourselves out with the right things, and we can use that inspiration for Chanukah to ride us through the rest of the winter, Bez Hashem.